Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast, brought to you by Evergood Sausage. My feature guest this week is former NFL GM Michael Lombardi, who was a senior executive for the Raiders from 1998 to 2007 during John Gruden's first stint as Raiders head coach. Michael offered great insight on the Khalil Mack trade and what it says about Gruden's vision for the Raiders and whether he would have done it if he were in Gruden's spot. And we also turn back the clock to what it was like with the Raiders when Gruden and Al Davis were working together. It was a tremendous interview, and you guys are going to love it. And it starts right now. My guest on this week's Raiders Insider Podcast is Michael Lombardi, whose resume is long and distinguished. He was a scout, a personnel director, and a former general manager, and by the way, a three-time Super Bowl champion who worked for the 49ers, Browns, Patriots, and you guys know him well because he worked for the Oakland Raiders as a senior executive from 1998 to 2007, and now he's doing some media stuff, writing for The Athletic. He has the GM Street pod for The Ringer that goes off twice a week. And if he has any time whatsoever left over, the man wrote a book entitled Gridiron Genius, A Masterclass in Winning Championships and Building Dynasties, which comes out September 11th. But you can pre-order it on any online bookseller like Amazon or something like that. So, Michael, this is a perfect time to sit down and talk to you because it's been a crazy week in Raiderland with John Gruden, somebody that you know well. So let's get right to the topic of the week across not only the East Bay and Raider Nation, but throughout the entire country, is this Khalil Mack trade. Give me your take on what went down between the Bears and the Raiders when the Raiders sent Mack to Chicago for a package that includes a couple first-round picks.
Well, look, I think the Raiders made a decision. Well, I shouldn't say the Raiders. I think John Gruden made a decision before he got to Oakland. You know, he's had an opportunity to watch the National Football League for, 9 years covering Monday Night Football. And so he could see the landscape of all teams. And when he watched this team, I think, you know, when you go back to 2015, the last playoff season for the Raiders, they gave up over 400 yards and Mack was on the team, you know. And so it wasn't as if this was, you know, they were playing great defense and he was a cornerstone. Yeah, he is a really good football player. Never going to debate that with you. But we know this about the NFL today. It's not just about one player. It's a collection of players. You have to build a team. And I think that was the impetus behind it. I think the effects of the 15 through 17 draft and the lack of talent that has come from those drafts really was the reason to make this decision.
So when you look at it, at the trade, do you think it says, what does it say to you about John Gruden's vision for this team? Does it say what it kind of what it says to me is he didn't think this roster was very good and he has to start planning for the future. Like, what does it say to you?
I think it says that. I think he's kind of in a situation where, you know, he needs to work on the roster and he needs more assets to work on the roster. And, you know, it's hard to replace three drafts. And so I think he's saying to the fans that the talent level on defense, yes, Mac's a good player, but we got a lot of things back for Mac. And therefore, because we did that, we can helpfully build the team the right way. You know, the team's salary cap structure is kind of discombobulated. They got a lot of money on inside linemen, which typically teams don't do. Teams typically don't pay guards astronomical money. They pay left tackles, they pay right tackles, they pay quarterbacks, you know, and all that being said, so I think what John's trying to do is get the cap back in order. Now, when I say that very carefully, because if John decides to pay Amari Cooper huge money over Sammy Watkins' type of deal, then you have the Raider fans have to ask the question, well, if we're going to pay Sammy Watkins a receiver, why wouldn't we just pay one of the better defensive pass rushers in the league? And I think that's a fair question. If he has a philosophy that he's adhering to, that's one thing. But you can't line item the philosophy.
Yeah, and I'm curious, and I think fans are too, because out here in the Bay Area, it's really been kind of a shocking turn, and I think fans have a tough time wrapping their head around it, because yes, there's a long-term plan here that could flesh out this team as a whole, but it doesn't help the 2018 Raiders. They're not getting anything back for this year. They just lost their best player. So I think that that's a tough thing for them to wrap their heads around, but you've been a GM. You've had to make these difficult choices. If you could put yourself in his shoes, would you have made the same deal?
I think I would have. I think, you know, to me, the thing is you've got to be able to do is once you pay a quarterback in the $20 million range a year, it's hard to pay someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for you to say, well, look, the Rams are doing it. The Rams are on a credit card. Everybody in the league knows it. I wrote about this in The Athletic. They should just put Visa and American Express on their jersey, because that's really what they're doing. You know, they're buying it. They have to do it, because they're trying to sell tickets in Los Angeles. They're trying to sell PSLs. They're trying to sell suites, all that. That makes sense to me. I'm not disputing what they're doing. That being said, I think you need to me, I come from the school, you know, I've been with Bill Belichick for over 25 years, and Belichick's one of his great lines is we're not collecting talent, we're building a team. And that's most important. And I think that's what you have to do. Now, by saying that, you got to draft well. Nobody's mentioned, you know, it's fascinating how we have these myths and people just let things go on and nobody really talks about it. The Patriots traded Chandler Jones for a second round pick and Jonathan Cooper. Chandler Jones, after 4 years in the NFL, he's 1 year older than Khalil Mack, just 1 year older. He had 36 and a half sacks. Mack's had 40 in 4 years. Mm-hmm. So they're very similar in their production. Chandler's had 28 sacks in the last two seasons. He's been a really dominating pass rusher for Arizona. Arizona hasn't been able to make the playoffs since he's gone there. Not his fault. He's done his job. But they need more players around him. The Patriots have won one Super Bowl and almost won another since he's been gone. So once again, it's about collecting, building the team, not collecting talent.
Yeah, and I think that is a good point, because especially on defense, I mean, quarterback is a totally different monster, but on defense, you can have one really dominant player and still have, and that doesn't change the impact of your record. But if you have a really solid defense as a whole, then obviously, you know, things can turn around. You talked about drafting well, and I think John Gruden has been critical of the last three draft classes, and he's not wrong. He's just voicing what's actually happened. And do you think that that's kind of led to where the Raiders are? I think that maybe that 2016, I don't know if it was fool's gold, but it's hard to sustain because those draft picks haven't come in. So to that point, you have a general manager working with John Gruden and Reggie, who has made all those draft picks. Is he going to entrust Reggie to make all these draft picks that he got for Khalil Mack in the future? And I guess that's a long-winded way of asking, do you see this partnership between John and Reggie lasting long-term?
When Mark Davis passed the baton to John Gruden, when he gave him $100 million for 10 years, mm-hmm. he gave John Gruden all the authority he had in the organization. And Reggie, even though he carries the title of general manager, doesn't have the authority to run drafts any longer. Everything runs through John Gruden. I mean, we can all have titles, but, you know, it's like people say when I worked for the Raiders, well, you drafted Jamarcus Russell. Well, I was there in the building, but we didn't draft Jamarcus Russell. Okay, you know, and I'm not passing the buck here, but the reality was that was a decision that was made by the owner of the team. You know, when the owner has the power to make the decision he makes, whomever has the power, you work there, but then that's also where the players come from. John is making every decision. Since he's came to the organization last January, every decision that's being made on that team is made by John. Reggie's going to work for John. John doesn't work for Reggie. They're not a partnership. And I think that's the way it's going to go, and that's how it's going to go moving forward. I think Reggie's done a good job of accepting the role. But the reality of it is he doesn't have the authority to run any draft.
The Raiders Insider Podcast is brought to you by Evergood Sausage Company, bringing you locally smoked, handmade sausages out of San Francisco for 92 years, family owned. Just from what I've kind of seen from John, and we haven't seen any games yet, but obviously John Gruden, the football coach, is pretty good at what he does and is a pretty good play caller and offensive mind and all those compliments that have been attached to him. But do you have any concerns about John Gruden, the personnel man, or maybe more appropriately, having John Gruden wear both hats, you know?
Well, I do. I think, and I wrote about this in The Athletic, I think if John wants to be the general manager of the team, he's got to act differently. He just can't be the offensive coordinator. He can't work on the scripts. He can't plan the offensive game plans to the degree. I mean, you've got to spend time on the college draft. You got to spend time on pro personnel. You got to spend time with special teams. You got to spend time with the defense. That's what a head coach, and when you're looking at the team from 35,000 feet, like the man who's got $100 million in a bank account for a 10-year contract, that's what you have to do. And I'm not, and his expertise is running the offense, and certainly he'll do a good job with that because that's his skill set. He can attack defenses, and he's very good. I'm not telling him to give that up, but I think he's got to take a broader approach to everything and understand that. And that's going to be the challenge because when he went to Tampa, they won a Super Bowl in 02 when they beat us at Oakland with a lot of mostly it was Tony Dungy's team. Mm-hmm. He coached Brad Johnson well. The offense kind of came alive late in the season, but their defense was really good, and that defense was there before John arrived. When John left, there was not a very good team, and I think John has to learn from that. We all make mistakes in personnel. We all make bad decisions, me included, all of us. This is not about, you know, who's smarter than somebody else. We all make them, and I think he's got to learn from that. If his performance as a general manager, which he was in Tampa Bay as well, Bruce Allen had that title, but Bruce worked for John. If he's going to do that, he's going to have to prove to be a better drafter. It looks this year that they did do that. Now, they made a mistake with Martavius Bryant. We all make mistakes. You move on. The worst thing you can do in life is hang on to a mistake.
Interesting.
And I think by cutting him, they acknowledged it.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, just in that, you know, there's no reason to keep him around if he's not the guy that you want. My question is just, you've worked with John a lot when it comes to these personnel choices. Have you noticed him to be impatient, you know, just in terms of, you know, he likes a guy 1 minute and then boom, he's off the roster. We've seen that a couple different times during the course of this preseason. Is that something that you noticed, or maybe just more generally, what was it like to work with John and with Al Davis, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s? What was that dynamic like?
Well, you know, Al ran the team. So, mm-hmm. You know, John had certainly a way about trying to get things done, but every personnel decision came through Al's desk. Al was the general manager of the team. You know, he was the owner of the team, and he was also the general manager. And that was a good thing because John, as you said, John does get impatient, as most coaches are. Most coaches only worry about what's going to happen next Sunday. And I think through maturity, we all learn to get better, and we all learn to see what lies at hand and what lies distantly in the future. And I think that's what he has to work on. And he has to be cognizant of the fact that he likes older players, and he's got to develop some young players. I mean, when you look at John's career, he's never developed a young quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's never been a young quarterback. Now, he's got Derek Carr, and he's a young quarterback, and he's already been developed, and I'm sure he's going to make him better. But when you go back through Tampa, there's never been a young quarterback developed. It's always been older guys. He likes an older player. And then he has to be concerned about making the Raiders older. Signed Brandon LaFell, another older player. Jordy Nelson, another older player. These are things that he's got to take into consideration when he does his job as general manager, as he works for himself as head coach.
I am curious if you could just take us back to that fateful time when John was traded to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I guess I'm just curious, what was it like in the front office when that transaction went down? Was there, I don't know if there was shock or surprise, or if you guys saw that coming? That was just such a pivotal moment in the Silver and Blacks history. And I guess I was just curious kind of like what it was like on the inside during that time.
Well, I think a lot of it was due to John's contract. I know that, you know, there was some talk about John getting a contract extended, and that never really happened at the money and the dollars. And then there was talk about John wanting to go to college. Remember, there was a time period where John was always talking about going to Ohio State as the head coach, maybe Notre Dame. You know, there was always talk about movement. And I think once they realized, once Al realized he could not get an extension or he didn't want to pay for an extension, you know, that I don't know whether which way that went. You know, the trade seemed to be the best thing. And, you know, he made a great trade. And unfortunately, and Bill Callahan came in and did a great job in 2002, a tremendous job of running the team and leading the team. And then we were just an old team. We went down to the Super Bowl. We only had 1 week to play a game. If we would have had 2 weeks, perhaps we would have played better in that Super Bowl. I don't know if we would have beaten them, but perhaps we would have played better. But then the next year, you know, Bill was on a 2-year contract with 2 years as an option. And he was a lame duck coach coming off a Super Bowl loss, and that affected him.
And just let's move on to your book here. And again, it's called Gridiron Genius, A Masterclass in Winning Championships and Building Dynasties, which comes out September 11th. What could Raiders fans look forward to in this book? Obviously, you have extensive experience working with the Silver and Black. Give us some kind of some juicy details about what Raiders fans might like from this book.
Well, I mean, look, I spent 10 years with Al Davis, and the reason I went to work for Al Davis was because Bill Walsh told me when I was driving him in a car that the most football he ever learned was working for the Raiders. And that's the reason I wanted to work for Al. And I studied Al, and a lot of things we did in Cleveland, a lot of things that are going on in New England came from Al. And I think Raider fans will understand where Al was in terms of his vision and his ability to procure talent and develop a system of players and how to build a team. You'll learn all about those things. And of course, later in life, as Al really was reluctant to make changes in what he wanted to do, we couldn't really quite get out of that time period. So there's a lot of Raider stuff and a lot of influence from Al, because Al influenced my career tremendously in terms of learning about how to procure talent, be a scout, be an executive, think differently, game management. All that stuff came from Al.
Yeah, and it's come up a couple different times with this Mac trade that possibly this is John Gruden acting in a Patriot way. Well, you worked for the Patriots for a long time. You know Bill Belichick as well as anybody. Is this a Patriots move? And do you think that the Patriots way can be, if not copied, but can be used as a model elsewhere? Or is that a unique situation there working with Bill?
No, I think it can be, but you have to be disciplined to it. You know, Belichick, when he when the draft is over, because Belichick runs the entire organization, when the draft's over, Belichick starts working on the next year draft. And before he leaves in the summertime, he'll probably have written up over 400 college prospects just watching tape.
Wow.
And so he takes time doing that. And then during the summer, he's working on all three facets. So he's doing three jobs and he's working at them. And if you want to copy the Patriot way, you better do that. That's a hard thing to do, and you've got to spend time and energy. And he'll work on the offense. He'll work on the defense. He'll work on the special teams. I mean, every Monday morning, he meets with Tom Brady. He meets with Brian Hoyer, and he goes over every single defensive back of the opponent's team that they're getting ready to play. And he's written it up. It isn't just, okay, this is what I think. It's on a piece of paper, and it's handed to the players so they can read it and study it. That's the attention to detail that Bill brings to the table. If you want to copy the Patriots way, you better do that.
And a book can be a real undertaking. I've already read down your resume and how busy that you are. Kind of talk about the writing process and why you chose to do this. It can be a very kind of arduous process to write everything down and all that kind of stuff. How did you develop this concept for this book? And did you enjoy the process of writing it all down?
You know, I did. I mean, when I worked for the Raiders and my last year at the Raiders, when Art Shell was the head coach, I knew that this was not going to end in a very good way. So I took a writing class in San Francisco. I was one of 15 people in the class. I wanted to write. I've always wanted to write a book. I felt like, you know, working for Bill Walsh, working for Bill Belichick and Al Davis, I've been around some incredibly talented and gifted pillars of the NFL. So it gave me an opportunity to talk about what I've learned. This book's not about me by no means. This book's about what I've learned from these people that I've been able to work for. And so, you know, I just wanted to do that. And I had the opportunity once I decided to leave the Patriots and take this book as an undertaking, that's kind of what I wanted to do. So my day was spent like my days are mostly spent writing, re-editing, going over things, and still spending time on football.
One last question, because it's bold prediction time. How do you think the 2018 Raiders do this year? How do they rebound from losing Khalil Mack?
Look, I think that they're they have one of the easier schedules in the NFL. I think they were the 25th easiest schedule going in the NFL, and I think John is always going to do a good job of getting his team ready to play. I think they're looking for an 8-8, 9-7 type of season. You know, I don't know what the West brings. Joey Bosa not playing maybe this week. You know, where is he? The Chargers don't have a field goal kicker. I think Patrick Mahomes could be a very talented player. Andy Reid's an outstanding quarterback coach. And then there's Denver. I'm not sold on Denver being as good as they are on defense, because they don't have that corners that they used to have. And I'm not Case Keenum believer that he's going to move the offense. So to me, I think there's a great opportunity. I think the Raiders are obviously, there's a void in talent. We've talked about it earlier in this podcast. They've got to get better. And I think 8-8, 9-7 is probably the right number.
Michael Lombardi, thank you so much for the time. And don't forget, Gridiron Genius, a masterclass in winning championships and building dynasties, out September 11th, but pre-order it now. Michael, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast, brought to you by Evergood Sausage. And a special shout out to Michael Lombardi for offering great insight on the Khalil Mack trade, John Gruden, and the Raiders' dynamic both now and back in the late 90s and early 2000s. You've been listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast, and if you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a rating and a 5-star review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We will be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for listening, Raider Nation.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.